Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin and go to Tehran to speak with one of the few Western journalists in Iran, Ali Arouzi, NBC's bureau chief in Tehran. We will discuss the outcome of Friday's presidential election that surprised American analysts who predicted a hardline hand-picked successor to Ahmadinejad would win. We will look into whether this is a victory for wisdom and moderation over extremism and ill temper, as the winner, Hassan Rouhani, has described it. Then we will get a further analysis of whether the surprise win in Iran is a change in atmospherics or substance from Rasul Nafisi, who is a Middle East expert who has written about the Pasdaran, the guardians of the revolution. Today, the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps said on their website that we announce our comprehensive readiness for interaction and cooperation with the next administration. We will discuss what changes in Iran's foreign and domestic policies are likely, given that the president does not control foreign policy but instead presides over a troubled economy. Then finally, following Bill Clinton's remark that Obama could look like a total wuss if he does not intervene in Syria, we will assess the impact of the White House's decision to arm the Syrian opposition after acknowledging that the Assad regime had crossed its red line over the use of chemical weapons. Rafif Jujati, the English-language spokesperson for the Syrian Local Coordinating Committees, the umbrella group of the Syrian opposition, joins us to discuss what this change in U.S. policy might mean on the battlefield and at the negotiating table. And apparently we're having who is on? Ali? Ali, are you there? Ali?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, thank you so much. We're just having some problems getting through to you. So you were just, let me just introduce you then. Ali Arouzi is joining us from Tehran, Iran. He's the NBC bureau chief in Tehran, one of the few Western journalists operating in the country. He was born in Iran, and he and his family moved to London when Islamic revolutionaries deposed the Shah. He first returned to his native country in 2004 to report on the massive Iranian earthquake and has since become one of NBC's chief correspondents on Iranian affairs, and he has just covered a press conference at the mausoleum of Ayatollah Khamenei, where the new president paid his respects. Welcome to Background Briefing, Ali Arouzi. Ali?
Thank you, Ian.
So tell me... So tell me, what are we talking about here in terms of this new president who's caught everybody by surprise, including American analysts who basically said that this would be a hand-picked, hard-line successor and that the election is rigged? It does seem, with 72% of the Iranian people participating and the show of support from people in the streets wearing purple, the color of this candidate, and they seem quite festive. What is your take, being there on the ground? Is this a change in atmospherics or a change in substance?
Well, it's a very good question, Ian. I mean, he's got a very tough road ahead of him. And I think all the Iranian people are waiting to see whether there's going to be a major shift, a tangible shift in policy, or just a softening in tone. He's certainly been very welcoming to opening up the doors to the West. He's talked about negotiating with the United States that Iran needs to do this to come out of this war. He's spoken about better civil liberties and more social freedom for the Iranian people. Now we have to see if he can deliver on that. It's going to be an uphill struggle. He's going to have a lot of people against him that are very conservative in the country. But having said all of that, he's got a massive popular vote. There's no doubt about that. I don't think the numbers would fudge. The votes that each candidate got added up, it made sense. It equated to the person they were. So he's got a very, very popular mandate from the people. He's got this mandate because he's got the backing of a former President Khatami, who is the leading reformist in the country, also the backing of Hashemi Hassan, the political survivor Islamic system. So he's got some big guns behind him, and he's got the popular vote behind him. Now we have to see if he can deliver on his promises. Ian?
So, Ali, explain to us the pre-election maneuvering here, where the reformist candidate dropped out at the urging of the former president. Hotami, and also Rafsanjani, who wasn't allowed to run, also endorsed Hassan Rouhani. So, what were those manoeuvres about?
Well, they were trying to get over the hump. Rouhani is not a reformist. He's a centrist, but he has the backing for the reformists. There was only one reformist running in this race, Mohammad Reza Aref, who dropped out. He didn't back Rouhani, but it was obvious he dropped out in favor because of what people had told him. The conservatives, who had five candidates, couldn't rally behind one person. So it shows us that the reformist camp was organized. What was also very telling is that the Muslims of the Ayatollah Khomeini, a lot of supporters for Rouhani had come out there today wearing green bracelets showing a picture, and they were all chanting, "Rouhani, don't forget Aref, the reformist candidate who dropped out in favor of him." So basically they were saying, "We voted for you because Aref dropped out in your favor." So it shows how important that reformist vote was for him. And it's somewhere as sensitive as the Mausoleum of Imam Khomeini, they were still making these chants. Another thing that was also very telling in this election was about 35 million people out of 6 million eligible voters went to the ballot box. Mr. Rouhani got just over 18 million votes, and the five conservative candidates combined got just under 18 votes. So it was pretty much split between Rouhani and five conservative candidates, which shows a country somewhat divided in what they want, how they want to be received in the outside world. That's not to say that there's any notion of some sort of Persian Arab spring happening, not by any stretch of the imagination, but it shows a difference in how people want the country to receive and run. Yeah.
And Ali Arouzi, my understanding is that the people were also, back in 2009, of course, they chanted death to the dictator after they felt that the election was stolen. This time around, my understanding that some of the chants were, "Thank you, dictator, for allowing a fair vote." Did you witness that?
I didn't hear any of that, but there were no, the chants were going outside were nothing like 2009. The only chants that made you realize that, you know, things resonating from 2009 were, more people were calling for the release of Mir Hossein Mousavi and Mehdi Karabi, the two presidential reforms candidates in 2009 that had been under very, very strict house arrest for the last few years. People were calling for their release, which is going to be a very sensitive issue, Mr. Rouhani. I believe, you know, everybody's waiting on tender hooks to see if he will be released and what the reaction from the general public will be. Yeah?
So, again, I'm speaking with Ali Arouzi, who is the NBC bureau chief in Tehran, Iran, one of the few Western journalists operating in the country. He has just covered a press conference at the mausoleum of Ayatollah Khomeini, where the new president paid his respects. And now, as you mentioned, the two leaders that are under house arrest, that would be, I take it, a lot of the moderate voters. And you pointed out, Ali, that Hassan Rouhani is a centrist as opposed to a moderate or a reformer, but he was supported by the reformers in the form of former presidents Rafsanjani and Hotami. But I take it that the followers, those who voted for him, in the hope that there will be reform, and much of what he has said so far must be encouraging to them when he talks about his victory being a victory for wisdom and moderation over extremism and ill temper. Are the Green Movement people who are now waving purple as well as green, are they waiting to see whether these two leaders under house arrest will be released? Is that a pledge and a promise that Rouhani made?
Not a pledge or a promise he made, but he's going to be under a lot of pressure to make that happen. Every rally he had leading up to this election, people were chanting about their release. It was done on the streets last night when there was a celebration carnival atmosphere on the streets of Tehran. People were also calling for their release. Now, he hasn't directly addressed this issue, but he's certainly going to be under a lot of pressure to get this done. And also, let's not forget that former President Khatami and Rafsanjani also backed Mousavi and Karoubi 4 years ago, so they will probably be applying pressure from behind the scenes as well. Ian?
And Ali, since the new president basically doesn't have any control over the national security, that still remains the portfolio of the supreme leader, but he does have authority over a very troubled economy, and he's in a country now that is certainly where the supreme leader is more powerful, the Revolutionary Guards are more influential, and the Conservatives are more in control than when Khatami, who backs him, was in charge. What are his prospects of turning the economy around without getting an easing of Western sanctions, which, after all, is not his portfolio?
Without easing of sanctions, he's going to have a really tough uphill struggle to get this done. I mean, one of the reasons the economy is in bad condition was that it was mismanaged by the former government. There's no doubt about the subsidy reforms didn't work. These handouts that he handed to the poor classes of Iranians in the South created a charity economy. So there was certainly some mismanagement there, but you know, the sanctions have certainly had an effect. It caused hyperinflation. The rial, the Iranian currency, has devalued by about 70%. So he's going to have to tread a careful line. It's a combination of trying to remanage the economy properly, make proper fiscal decisions, as well as trying to loosen the sanctions, because you know Iran is dependent on oil sales, and with the sanctions that are so tough on Iran, they're not selling their oil, and that's what's really choking it off from the world economy. Yeah.
So Ali Arouzi, how is he then going to deal with the big issue, which is a foreign policy issue, and that is the P5 plus one talks, the nuclear issue, and you know, if he doesn't have the authority to negotiate on that level, what can he do if that is the main problem, the sanctions?
Well, he doesn't have the authority to write off on a final decision, but he can certainly set the tone in talks. He can certainly steer the supreme leader the decision-making in a certain way that he thinks would benefit the country. Let's not forget, when he was chief nuclear negotiator under Khatami's presidency, he got on very well with Western diplomats, Western powers, and that was the first time Iran suspended uranium enrichment whilst with nuclear negotiator. When President Ahmadinejad came to power in 2005, they fired that whole program up again. And that was some of the criticism that had been aimed at Rouhani from the hardliners, saying that, you know, you sold Iran's nuclear rights down the river. But he obviously had some mandate to make the deal he did. Now that he's president, and he'll probably appoint the chief nuclear negotiator, they're certainly going to change the tone in talks. And I think Western diplomats have also realized that. Yeah.
Well, I understand that his appeal is quite broad, that Hassan Rouhani did win in the small towns and villages where the people are much more conservative than they are in the larger cities, and he is, after all, a cleric. But he also clearly won in the cities with the educated classes, the reformists, for the want of a better description. So he has he seems to have a pretty broad base. Did he when you say he got on well with the supreme leader? What will that negotiating, what will that involve? Because my understanding is the supreme leader and his son, who's quite influential as well, is fairly much in t- tight with the IRGC, the Revolutionary Guard Corps, and they came out on their website today with a rather bland statement that we announce our comprehensive readiness for interaction and cooperation with the next administration. So given the sort of siege mentality that apparently exists with the IRGC and with the Supreme Leader and the situation in Syria in flux, what is your sense then of whether the popular mandate of this new leader will give him some wind at his back?
Well, look, like I said, he'll definitely set the tone. He has popular support, but as we all know, the buck stops with the Supreme Leader. And if he feels things are not going in the right direction to preserve the Islamic Republic, he certainly will change the course of negotiations and talks. That's a very important thing. I mean, let's not forget the Iranian constitution clearly states that the Supreme Leader is the most powerful man in the land, and the second most powerful is the president. So from that, everybody should understand how the power structure here works. Now, having said all of that, Iran is under immense pressure, has been under the last 3 years. And with Mr. Rouhani coming in and getting this massive vote, with the police on the streets, the authorities being fairly soft with everybody outside, I sense a change in the winds coming. But in the opaque world of Iranian politics, it can be predictably unpredictable. Ian?
Well, Ali Aruzi, I thank you so much for joining us from Tehran and for filling us in on what is happening there right now. And I very much appreciate it.
Thank you, Ian.
Again, I've been speaking with Ali Aruzi, who is the NBC bureau chief in Tehran, Iran. He's one of the few Western journalists operating out of the country, and he was born in Iran. He and his family moved to London when the Islamic revolutionaries deposed the Shah, and he first returned to his native country in 2004 to report on the massive Iranian earthquake and has since become one of NBC's chief correspondents on Iranian affairs. He has just covered a press conference at the mausoleum of Ayatollah Khomeini, where the new president paid his respects. We're going to take a brief station break and we'll be back with a further analysis of this surprise win in Iran. Let's hold it.